This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Good morning, Winnipeg. Good morning, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live this morning at TSN1290.ca, good morning, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, our annual fantasy hockey preview show. 2 hours of hockey talk for you on this Saturday morning, dedicated solely to getting you ready and prepared for your upcoming hockey pool. You know that the hockey season is upon us when people are starting to figure out when they're going to begin their hockey drafts and run their hockey pools. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest NHL and loads of Winnipeg Jets news is IllegalCurve.com. Our guests on the show this morning from NHL.com, their fantasy expert Pete Jensen is going to join us in about 30 minutes' time. From Dauber Hockey, the managing editor Steve Laidlaw is going to join us at the top of the next hour. And then at 11:30 this morning, Justin Goldman, he runs thegoalieguild.com, dedicated strictly to goaltenders, and their craft is going to join us to talk about fantasy hockey goaltenders. I say good morning to my colleagues, sportscaster Ezra Ginsberg, I believe, and Richard Pollock. Gentlemen, good morning. Good to see you both.
Yeah, good to see you, boys. Good morning. This is always my favorite show. These next two shows that we have coming up, the season preview show next week.
Yeah.
These are always my favorite shows. Like, we could do these shows for the whole season. We could do 5-6 hour shows. I could talk about this stuff all day long. So
it would be odd to run a preview show halfway through the season, though.
It's a good point, yeah. But I think you know what I was talking about. The beginning of the hockey season and covering all the teams and everything like that. Because you're right, we got day two of training camp coming up at the Iceplex. Jets fan day today. Hockey is back. It really is, and it started with the rookie camp, and I think we're all ready to go here.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Richard, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Drew.
Yeah, how are you feeling? A little under the weather, yeah, but going to tough it out?
Tough it out for 2 hours.
Attaboy, we always appreciate you giving 110%. Anyways, welcome to the show. We get started. We're going to spend the first two segments talking about your fantasy forwards, because that's really where you make or break in the terms of your fantasy pools. Just for the record, the ground rules that we're going to assume when we carry on these discussions throughout the 2 hours today is a basic hockey pool where a point is awarded for a goal, a point is awarded for an assist, and if you're a goaltender, 2 points are awarded for a win with a bonus point awarded for a shutout.
There's so many pools now that we will talk about pools that reward penalty minutes, pools that reward plus minus. We'll talk about it, but the base, as you're mentioning, is on the goals
and
assists.
That's right, because, I mean, much like baseball, where you can do a 5-by-5 pool or even a 10-by-10 pool, hockey, with its myriad of stats, also lends itself to that much more than, say, football, which is really fantasy football, has got more or less two main ways of going about it, head-to-head, and sometimes there's a PPR where you get a point per reception, something along those lines. Hockey, different formats for everybody.
Yeah, the draft format is pretty standard, where whoever gets the first overall pick in the first round will most likely get the last overall pick in the second round, the snake format.
As you know, auctions are very popular now.
Auctions are popular.
Are they popular in hockey, too, though?
I think they're going to be.
I think they're, I agree with Richie, I think they're gaining popularity, I should say. I know, Drew, our football pool is an auction format. I think it's a little bit more difficult in hockey because you don't have as many positions, obviously. It's a little bit different, but I think it can work. I think it's key to mention here, I know Richie and I go in an annual hockey pool that rewards goals more than assists, so we'll try to also factor that in when it comes to players, a guy like Ryan Getzlaff, who had the most goals he's ever had last year. We'll try to incorporate that as well if you're in a pool that rewards goals more. I wouldn't be surprised, guys, just thinking, talking about penalty minutes and all this stuff, I wouldn't be surprised if there's guys out there that are having Corsi pools at this point, Fenwick pools with the age of advanced stats that we live in. I think it would be a pretty boring hockey pool and pretty complicated hockey pool. But I think for the most part, people are drafting for, good old goals and assists.
I would agree with you there. Let's start with the forward groups. This first question is sort of a simple question. Can you fathom a circumstance entering into the 2014-15 season like we are right now? Can you fathom a circumstance in which Sidney Crosby, coming off a season where he played 80 games, really a full year, he had 104 points, can you fathom a circumstance where he isn't the first overall draft pick?
I can fathom a circumstance where he isn't the first overall draft pick, Drew, because if you think Steven Stamkos is as good and scores more goals, he may give you a better opportunity to win on certain weeks or over the course of the year. So I can certainly fathom it. I personally wouldn't be the one passing up Sidney Crosby because I think he's the best player in the world, hands down. But Stamkos would be the one guy that I would consider over Crosby. I don't think Ovechkin, I know he scores the goals, Ovechkin doesn't get the assists. I just don't trust him as much as I would Crosby or Stamkos.
I think, Richie, especially when you're talking about pools that reward goals,
yes,
more so than assists, Stamkos will get more goals than Crosby.
Right.
I don't think there's going to be any debate there. Stamkos could get 60 goals if he's healthy the whole year. So I think especially in pools that reward goals, you're considering Stamkos, but I think there is that much of a difference between one and two. 5 years ago, when there was the Crosby versus Ovechkin debate, when they were kind of neck and neck for the scoring lead, and then you had Malkin up there as well. And again, Malkin, we're only a couple of years away from Malkin leading the league in scoring. Mm-hmm. But we're talking a healthy Sidney Crosby is the best player in the world, and that includes offensive point total. So I would always tell someone to not even consider drafting someone else aside from Sidney Crosby, number one. But I think Richie makes a good point. Steven Stamkos is coming off of a year where he missed the Olympics and he was injured. He only played 37 games. So he's up there. I mean, if he's healthy, you're talking about 90 to 95 points for Stamkos probably.
Let's talk about this wrist problem, though. I mean, Crosby's already got this wrist problem.
Yep.
We heard rumors bothering him at the end of last year.
Sure, especially during the playoffs.
Yeah, after Pittsburgh played in Winnipeg and then, you know, throughout the playoffs. If that's going to be an ongoing issue, then maybe you are considering Stamkos because he's fully recovered from the leg injury from last year that he suffered on November 11th.
And there's a risk-reward there, Richie. And that's always part of a hockey pool. You want to limit the amount of risk you take.
Mm-hmm.
But in that case, the risk is probably worth taking because you have two players that have had injury problems early on in their career, Stamkos more recently than Crosby. But that is an issue. We saw Crosby in the playoffs, and we all knew that he was injured. And they weren't going to say anything during the playoffs, but it turns out he was injured. So you got to factor that in a little bit, but I still think you take Crosby number one.
Especially
though.
The concern I think would be about injuries is if it's a chronic injury, like a wrist injury, versus an acute injury, like a broken leg. A broken leg, you know, heals fully, you know, for the most part.
Yep.
You become as good as you were before it broke. A chronic injury is something that you sort of have to live with. It's never going to get back to 100%. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, Sidney Crosby has a chronic injury with his wrist, but, you know, if you're first overall and you're concerned that he might have to sit out some games because it flares up or whatever, it is certainly something you probably have to consider.
Just so people know, you know, when we're talking about the category pools, the default category pools is like a Yahoo pool, and that would be goals, assists, plus minus, power play points, shots on goal, penalty minutes, and then goalie wins, goals against average, shutouts, and save percentage. So when referring to other pools, that would be the idea of the pool. You know, one pool we'll be referring to is more of a straight-up points pool. It's probably more common amongst people who are entering pools and this, you know, office pools and things like that. But
that's a basic one, yeah.
Yeah, the other pool would be kind of your basic comprehensive pool.
Yeah, so which is a funny way to phrase it, but you're right. It's a little bit, it's the basic way of doing a more in-depth pool.
Right.
As long as we don't start awarding points for Corsi in our pools, then I'm good, Drew.
Let me ask you guys this question. You know, first overall is sort of, you know, what are your minimum expectations from a player, from the player you draft in the first round? Whether it's first overall or it's 12th overall if you have 12 players in your draft. You're going in and you have the 7th overall pick. What's the minimum number of points you want from that 7th overall pick in the first round?
Well, if you're talking about, again, we're talking about the difference between Sidney Crosby and the rest. It was significant last year, but I think we'd expect that to be higher. A guy like Ovechkin didn't have the assist totals, and he had the 50 goals, but his assist totals were down. But if you're talking about a pool with 10 or 12 owners, if you want to look at it like that, 10 or 12 players are drafted in the first round, you're looking for 85 points plus, at the very least 80. And especially in the first round, that's not when you want to start taking players that have never been in that threshold. So you're looking at players that have had consistently those point totals or players that are usually in that point range. So you're talking a guy like Patrick Kane, who missed the last, about 13 games, I think it was, and he was a point-per-game player, 69 games, 69 points. Yeah. You're looking at taking players that are usually in that point range. If there was an injury, Stamkos is another guy that in all other circumstances in a season where he's healthy, he's in that range. But you want guys that are in the 80 to 100 point range. When you're talking Crosby, obviously, he's over 100. Stamkos maybe is in there. But you want to take players that are established guys. And sure, maybe a Nathan MacKinnon who had 63 points in his rookie year, maybe he's starting to get to that 85-point range, but I would stick to the guys that are bona fide guys that are getting those point totals year after year. So you're talking to the Ovechkins, the Malkins, the Getzlaffs, the Perrys, those guys. You want to stick to those guys.
I would agree. I think 80 points is your threshold for the first round. That's what you want to get beyond, or at least at. You know, it's amazing. That's what we're talking about in this day and age. 80 points is a first-round pick, but that's really what it is. Last season, if you look at the point totals, the seventh highest scoring player in the National Hockey League by points was Taylor Hall. He had 80 points.
Mm-hmm.
Ovechkin, Pavelski, and Ben and Backstrom all had 79. That rounds out the top 11.
Right.
So if you're in a 10-11 team pool, you need to get 79, 80 points.
With the only asterisk going next to Evgeny Malkin, who easily would have probably finished second in points in the league had he played all
right,
a full season.
Injuries are a factor here, Drew.
Sure. Well, and then how concerned are you about drafting a player who is sort of the chronically injured or who tends to miss more games than a guy who's consistently healthy? You know, how much weight do you put on that? You know, Malkin is a guy who, you know, over the last number of years has tended to miss, you know, more than his share of games. He, you know, 60 last year, 31 in the strike-shortened year, 75, 43.
Lockout shortened year.
You know, pardon me?
Lockout shortened
year, pardon me. You know, this is a guy who has not played a full season since 2008-2009.
You so know, don't draft him thinking he's going to. And I hate the guys who draft those players and then complain, oh, if only I didn't have a Malkin injury, my team would be great.
You have to factor
if
that in.
If only you had read the stat line before. No, he never plays a full season.
Richie, wouldn't you also factor that in for a player that, again, you have to allow for that statistical, I guess, it's not a discrepancy, but I guess you have to allow for the possibility that a player is injured and their point per game. I mean, Malkin, you know, 72 points in 60 games, what is that, 1.3 points per game. So you have to factor that in. If he plays 10 more games, there you go. There's your 80 points. So
yeah.
You have to factor it in, but you also have to look at the injury with a grain of salt and not expect him to miss that many games every year unless he does.
Every year, Evgeny Malkin, year in, year out. I mean, this is a guy who's going to get drafted in the first round of every single hockey pool, probably top five, top three, to be honest, quite possibly. And then
he was 15th overall in the NHL last year in points, and he missed 22 games.
That's right. So I'm saying if he plays, you know,
the risk reward's probably worth it there.
That's the question. Yeah. Is the risk reward there? Because I mean, you're going to end. You could if history is any indicator, and he continues to miss 15 or 20 games per season, you're paying first round value for second round production or third round production.
Well, does he fall out of the top seven if that's the case? I mean, who are you taking ahead of him? You're taking Crosby, taking Stamkos, you're taking Ovechkin. You very possibly be taking Giroux, Sagan, Getzlaff. I mean, these are the guys that you're talking about there, right? Then you're going to get to that. See, Sagan's taking the next step, and then you got Corey Perry. So, I mean, if you want those guys all played a considerable amount of games last year, between Sagan, Perry, and Getzlaff, they missed a combined six games.
Well, Richie, and you mentioned Sagan and Jamie Benn. Those are usually, you know, second or third round
combined
picks.
Eight games, sorry.
Second or third round picks. Now those guys are, I would say, definitely take those guys in the first round. I think their point totals could easily go up. I don't think they're going to be 100-point players, but I could see Sagan being a 90-point player and Ben being an 85-point player. I think you raise a good point about a guy like Malkin. His second and third years in the NHL, he played the full season, but the last 2 years, he's missed 39 games. So you have to factor that in. But again, the risk and reward there, 2011-2012 had the 109-point season.
Sure.
So his points per game are higher than anyone. So you, aside from maybe Crosby, so you got to factor that in as well.
It's certainly something worth considering. Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll continue looking at forwards as we continue with our fantasy hockey preview show. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN 1290.ca.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290 online, TSN 1290.ca. Fantasy Hockey Preview Show, getting you set for your 2014-15 NHL hockey pool, which I'm sure will be taking place within the next couple of weeks. I want to talk about some specific players this season. And I want to start with a guy who's going to be of interest to Winnipeg Jets fans. That's the new assistant captain or associate captain for the Winnipeg Jets, Blake Wheeler. Finished last year with 20th overall in the NHL with 69 points in 82 games. Where is Blake Wheeler? Where do you think he should be drafted? Is he a guy who should be drafted within the top two rounds of your hockey pool? Is this a guy who's still got room to grow and improve upon 69 points last year? Is that a guy who's at his max right there at around 69 points?
I think he can get more than 69 points, Drew. I think if he's playing with Scheifele and Kane all year, which is how they lined up, obviously, at the beginning of camp, that line has a lot of speed, and Scheifele is a good passer, and so is Wheeler, and Kane's a good goal scorer, as we know. So that provides him the option of the opportunity to possibly exceed 69 points. I think if he's a little more consistent, that'll help him as well, and if they keep the lines together longer, I know Kane spoke about that. So I think Wheeler could get up to the mid to high 70s in the point total. He has the skill level, we know that. I mean, I think he's a second-round pick in drafts. I would feel pretty solid with him at the bottom end of the second round in a pool, for sure.
And I think, Richie, what you mentioned is really key here, and that's something that I think we would all advise people that are going in hockey pools. And obviously, when we're talking about advising, we're being serious here, but it's also having fun with it. And I know a lot of people out there that are Jets fans are going to want to take some Winnipeg Jets, but you still want to win at the end of the day, right? Even if there's a little money on the line or it's just for office pride. But
the Jets will always go higher in the Winnipeg pools than they will anywhere else.
Yeah, just like it would in every other market.
I mean, I agree. Yeah. Don't take Timo Solani, though. He's not playing in the NHL this year. But when it comes to Blake Wheeler, I think, you know, Richie mentions the Evander Kane and Mark Scheifele line combination, and I couldn't agree more. I think that's what the line should be, and I know that, you know, maybe that creates some problems for Paul Maurice when it comes to who's going to play right wing on the top line if he's going to put Frolik with Ladd and Little. But sticking to Blake Wheeler, I think a few years ago, Richie, maybe he's a fourth or fifth round pick, yep. But now you're considering him as a late second round pick or mm-hmm. at the very least a third round pick. Blake Wheeler, again, I mean, he has done above and beyond what's been expected of him, and I think there is a little bit more room for growth. I agree with Richie. He could easily be in the 75, 80-point range, but I think you know what you're going to get with Blake Wheeler now. The last couple of years, he's been the most consistent scorer. He's the go-to scorer for the Winnipeg Jets. He deserved the A. So I think absolutely, and I think not only can we expect more out of Blake Wheeler, a healthy Evander Kane playing with Scheifele and Blake Wheeler, I think, will add to all of their point totals.
Well, then let's talk about Evander Kane. That was where I was going to go next. You know, last year, obviously, injuries affected him, missed 19 games. 63 games played last year, 41 points. Not playing with any consistent talent. If he plays with a guy like Scheifele and Wheeler, guys who are close to his skill level or right there at a similar skill level, what can be expected of Evander Kane, though, if he plays a full season?
Well, if he plays a full season, you can't overlook that comment, because he doesn't play a full season necessarily. He's had injury problems in the past, and that's been an issue. If he plays with those guys, you know, you could see him get 35 goals and, you know, 30 assists, 60, 65 points. He's not a great passer.
65 points would put him at the probably between 30th and 40th overall in scoring in the NHL.
At, you know, third, fourth round pick there, and for his goal scoring ability, you might even, depending on the pool and how it's weighted, you might want to put him a little bit higher.
Sure,
but
if he scored 30 goals, like you said, there's not that many guys who score 30 goals.
That's right.
That would put him in the top 20 of goal scorers.
Right, he's a natural goal scorer, not a natural passer, so he's not going to be your 80, 90 point guy. But he can get 35 goals, for sure.
I think that's a good point. And I think last year, we all know how difficult of a year it was for Evander Kane last year, and how really he didn't perform to the expectations. And I think, though, even you look at during the lockout year, I mean, he's still on pace for a 30-goal season, 19 goals in 48 games. He played a full season. But mm-hmm. Richie's right. He's seemed to miss between 8 and 20 games in every year, except for that lockout year where he played the full season. But even dating back to his rookie year, he played 66 games. I think we're not going to count that one, because some of that might have been the fact that he was a rookie. But you have to factor that in. But Evander Kane's health is a question, but you have to assume, and again, these are for points, for pools that reward goals more. You got to factor that in as well. He has the 35-40 goal potential. So I think Evander Kane, he's healthy. I think he's a late third rounder, fourth rounder in the 65-70 point range.
When is
that's high, is he? I mean, that's, yeah, I mean, he could get that.
When is old too old? And I'm speaking about four players in particular: Jerome Iginla, yep. Patrick Marleau, Marty St. Louis, and Jaromir Jagr. All four of those guys finished in the top 30 of scoring last year. Sorry, not Iginla; he wasn't in the top 30.
But I guarantee you, Drew, I get your point. It's veterans, and where do you draft them? And I guarantee you, excuse me, that they went lower than than they ought to have because people like the sexy young guy, young picks.
Yeah. And Iginla was 39th in points last year in the NHL. So all four of those guys were top 40 in scoring in the NHL last year. You know, at what point in time, you know, are you hesitant to draft those guys, even though, the you know, seems year after year they're still able to produce despite their advanced age?
Well, let's go one by one quickly. I think it's interesting. Marty St. Louis without Steven Stamkos, so I would expect his point total to go down. Okay. Patrick Marleau, I would expect his point total to stay relatively similar.
He had 70 points in 82 games, 15th overall in the NHL.
He's Mr. Consistency.
Yeah, 65 points. You know, I'd say that's Marleau's going to get you unless there's some real unrest in San Jose and he gets traded and there's a different situation. Iginla going to a completely different situation in, you know, Colorado, having played in Boston, having played alongside Krejci and Lucic, you know. His point total I expect to be pretty similar as well because of the talent level in Colorado.
He's playing with Duchesne or MacKinnon.
He had 61 points last year and he played 78 games. So he played almost a full season. And then the last guy is Jágr. I mean, Jágr's
like superhuman. So, I mean, he's going to go. The problem with Jágr is that he's older, like 43. Uh-huh. So, I mean, he could get injured and who knows what happens. But he said this week he wants to play for as long as he possibly can and at a high level. I mean, Jágr will go probably in the sixth round. And it'll probably get you fourth round or third round production.
Won't disappoint if he
plays. But, I mean, I'll be honest, I'm not going to be the guy taking him in the fourth round.
Well, the thing with Jágr is nobody expected him to lead the Devils in scoring. I certainly didn't as a Devils fan. I would expect his point totals to be pretty similar, whether he plays with a Travis Zajac or another player.
Supposedly playing with Zajac and Camilleri to start training camp, at least.
Again, and he played a lot with Zajac last year. He also sometimes can play with Eliash. If Eliash wants to play center, it's not his natural position.
Right, and Eliash is playing with Havlat right now.
Exactly, and you got to factor in also how, like, these are Hall of Famers we're talking about. Maybe Marleau. I would say Marleau. Marlowe's a borderliner, but Jágr and Iginla, I mean, they're first ballot Hall of Famers. So you're talking about guys that, I mean, this is like Gretzky in his last year. I mean, Gretzky, you look at his point totals, he still put up 90 points or 80 points or whatever in his last year. I mean, these guys never put up 20 or 30 points. A bad season will be 45, 50 points for these guys. So you'll still take them, but I wouldn't take them in the first three or four rounds. But if you take them, as Richie said, later in the pool, it's most likely these guys are going to get 50 or 60 points as opposed to a rookie that you're expecting maybe to have a great season. Keep in mind, Nathan MacKinnon, 63 points, was one of the highest point totals a rookie's had in a while. So don't expect Jonathan Drouin to necessarily replicate that.
Gretzky had 94 points in his second last season in the NHL, tied Pavel Bure for points fourth overall. Last year wasn't as high, but he had back injury.
You know, everybody thinks Gretzky went out scoring, you know, having bad years.
That's right.
No, he wasn't having bad years.
Right. You're right about that.
Three other players I want to talk about, all of whom changed teams.
Yeah.
Jason Spezza, Thomas Vanek, James Neal. Will their new teams and their new situations improve or lessen their value?
Yeah, I think it probably lessens the value on all three guys.
Really? Spezza too?
Yeah, because he's going from number one center to number two center, Drew. Now, he might play the point in the power play, and that might change it because he can rack up power play points if that's a big issue when you're in a pool that rewards power play points. But health is an issue for him, and opportunity is an issue. Sagan's better than him. We know that. We know Sagan's better than him. So I think for him, I would expect a drop-off or stay relatively the same, but I don't expect any improvement from any of the guys you mentioned.
Yeah, you're talking Thomas Vanek. He's going to a team that clearly more of a defensive team and also a team that is stacked in the top six. So, I mean, you know, 68 points last year. Do his point totals go up? Probably not that much.
So.
When you're talking Jason Spezza, I think he had a rough year last year in Ottawa. And I think the days of Jason Spezza getting 95 points like he did, you know, what was it, 5 years ago, I think those days are over. But I think the change of scenery might be good in the sense for him personally. But I think when we're talking fantasy, I don't think Jason Spezza is a first or second round pick anymore. So I think his point totals might go up a little bit, but I think he maxes out maybe at low 70s. So I think if you're talking hockey pools, a straight draft format, you know, that's a third rounder, fourth rounder.
James Neal also, I mean, he's going from playing alongside Malkin primarily.
I'll probably play with Ribeiro.
And Ribeiro's a very good passer. But a different game.
Yep. One last player before we go to break. Brian Little last year had 64 points in 82 games, 32nd overall in scoring in the NHL, right around the value you'd get for probably a third, fourth round pick. Where do you see him getting drafted this year?
Fifth round, sixth round, probably. Just because we talked about the Scheifele, Wheeler, Kane line, and lines can change so quickly. But that clearly shows you this team wants to go forward with Scheifele as number one. And if he's playing alongside, Little's playing alongside Ladd and whoever it may be, whether it be Frolik or Bufflin or whatever they do there, and I think it'll change throughout camp, you know, opportunity might be a little bit less. And I think he had a really good year last year. I'm not Brian Little's. He had a really good year. And I'm not his biggest fan, but he's a real good player. And I don't know if he has the same amount of points as he did last year.
Yeah, I think 64 points was obviously his career high. Before that, his career high was 48 points with the Thrashers the year before they came over from Winnipeg. He does have a 31-goal season in 08-09. But, you know, Little, even though, you know, he might not be a guy you draft in the first three or four rounds, you might risk it, or if you're a big Brian Little fan. But if you take him, you know, I would be surprised if Little was anywhere below 55 points. So I think he's always going to be consistently kind of in that 55 to 60 point range. And the thing you have to consider,
well, too, I mean, that's high. I mean,
it's high, but I think considering he'll get the first line minutes, he first power play and all that, I think his number, I agree with you, Richie, that I think his numbers will go down maybe a little bit, because I think there's going to be a higher emphasis. Not emphasis, I guess, but there's going to be more expectations on Kane and Scheifele to pick up some of that offense. As we know, guys, the Jets have been a bit of a one-line team over the last couple of years, so I think that his numbers will dip a little bit, but I think he's still, I'd say, expect 55 points out of Brian Little this year.
Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll bring in Pete Jensen from NHL.com. He's their fantasy guru. We'll continue our talk about forwards. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Fantasy Hockey Preview Show, live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, alongside Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg. Follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and the website with the latest NHL and Winnipeg Jets news is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We are pleased to welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show from NHL.com, their fantasy guru, Pete Jensen. Pete, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Always good to see
Pete, are you there?
You guys. Can you guys hear?
Okay, we seem to have lost Pete. We'll get back on that momentarily.
Remus gets in early, and then I thought Remus would be on the other end of the phone for a second there.
Yeah. Anyways.
Was Remus calling him, or was Remus just, like, did Remus check if the phone was plugged in?
I'm not 100% sure. Remus did say that he
Remus called him from his own cell phone. Is that what happened there?
Oh, he's calling back. He's calling back. Looks like we dropped Pete, but we're going to bring him back on momentarily.
Well, the good thing is we can just blame Remus, though.
Yeah, well, naturally.
It's not us.
That's, no, it's,
of course, yeah.
It's what we do best is blame Remus, of course.
We're sorry.
Well, Pete, I've never heard analysis like that before. Yeah. I tell
Pete,
you that
Pete has a much higher voice than I was expecting.
You remember. Yeah, sort of robotic almost. Anyways, then we'll get Pete back on the line. We got Pete. Pete, are you there?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, guys. Sorry about the technical issue.
No worries whatsoever, Pete. Appreciate you joining us this morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We brought you on to talk about fantasy hockey, and fantasy hockey forwards is where we're going to start with yourself. You know, we want to start with Ryan Getzlaff, Anaheim Ducks forward. He had his second best year ever last year, 87 points, good for second most in the NHL. Do you think he can match those totals this coming season, and how high would you take him in a hockey pool?
I mean, right now I have Getzlaff listed as number 7 overall in my fantasy rankings. The reason why, I think, you just look at the addition of Ryan Kessler and not only the points that he's going to accumulate, but also the ice time that he's, and really the pressure that he's going to take off Getzlaff and that first line, that great first line with Perry and Getzlaff. So I think Getzlaff should remain in the 75 to 80 point range. He really should, especially with Perry, who I'm very high on. He's my top rated right wing. So that's the best point pair really in the NHL, in my opinion. But I just think the ice time will decrease a little bit for Getzlaff, and that, again, will come with a decrease in pressure and just more secondary scoring. So I'm still high on Getzlaff. Like I said, top 10 overall fantasy asset. Of course, finished second in the league in scoring last year behind Crosby, but maybe takes a slight step back this coming season.
Pete, the next player we wanted to ask you about is Chicago Blackhawks forward Patrick Kane, who before he was injured, was on pace for his best offensive year of his career at 69 points in 69 games. How many points do you think Kane will get this year? And I guess how much of an impact will his line mates have on how he does? He's lined up with Brad Richards and Brandon Saad in Hawks training camp right now.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure. I mean, we know Tara Vinen. We know about Brad Richards and what he was able to do with the Rangers last year from a leadership standpoint during the playoffs. I mean, I know his production dwindled near the end, but he's going to be a valuable asset for the Blackhawks. And then also in the mix is Andrew Shaw, who gelled a little bit in that Kings series alongside Saad and Patrick Kane. But Patrick Kane is great, especially in Yahoo leagues. Center, right wing eligibility. You really can't go wrong with him in the early second round, maybe even late first round, depending on how high on him you may be. But I think Patrick Kane has a lot of upside. And the fact that the Blackhawks have addressed that second-line center need, and they have two or three options, I think, could have Patrick Kane prime for an even bigger season than last year. Maybe even touching 80 points if he can stay healthy. But it's going to be interesting for sure, that feeling out process, and to see which of those three options will fill in that second-line center slot. But regardless, I think it's a promising situation for Kane on that second line.
Pete, what do you expect this year for Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin? You know, both of them really took the next steps last season and playing together for most of the season. How do you expect those two to perform this year?
I think they should be just as good, if not better. I think Jamie Benn is the top fantasy left wing entering the season, in my opinion. You look at what they were able to do, again, similar to Anaheim, with not much secondary scoring. Now you add a Jason Spezza, you add an Alex Hemsky. I mean, Hemsky could be playing with Spezza, but he also could be bumped up to the top line. Mm-hmm. So if you put Hemsky alongside those guys, or you have Valerie Nichushkin with another year under his belt, maybe gelling a little more with that top unit, it's a very interesting and promising situation for the Dallas Stars, who are really looking like a serious contender for maybe not a division title, but it's getting up there. I mean, Dallas has really improved. They have a great general manager, a savvy head coach, and now they're rolling three lines deep right now, which means that they can contend with any team in the West right now. So I think Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin has really found his niche on that team. And, again, center right wing eligible for Tyler Seguin. So he's mid-second round pick in standard fantasy leagues. And same with Jamie Benn. I would take Jamie Benn a little bit first, a little bit earlier, just because of his position and the scarcity in terms of elite-level left wings. But both of those guys are top 20 overall players, and they should form another strong point pair again this season.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. Our guest is Pete Jensen from NHL.com, their fantasy guru. Pete, we wanted to talk about Nathan MacKinnon. He certainly had the pedigree coming into the league. First overall draft pick. He did not disappoint last year. 63 points in 82 games for the Avalanche. Is that sort of the baseline for Nathan MacKinnon? Do you see him improving upon those 63 points this year? Are you concerned about a sophomore slump that might dip him a little bit below his rookie output?
I'm not really concerned at all about a sophomore slump for MacKinnon. I think when you look across the board of all the players last year who scored, say, 60-plus points, how many other players could get that much better, quite like Nathan MacKinnon is capable of this season, whether he's going to be playing alongside Landeskog and a healthy Alex Tanguay, or if he's playing alongside Landeskog and Iginla? I mean, that's a serious top six right now for the Avalanche. And I think MacKinnon, when you hear right now that he's stronger than ever, he put on 10 pounds of muscle in the off season. I mean, are you kidding me? This guy was so fast in the playoffs, such an explosive player. And you talk about maybe him playing with Iginla, or, I mean, Tanguay was outstanding last year before he was hurt. The team was, I believe, only had one loss when Tanguay was in the lineup last season. So it's a promising situation for For Nathan MacKinnon, again, center right wing eligible player because he played right wing last year. He's going to be shifting to his natural position this year, which could lead to even more assists and, for sure, even more of a breakout season. He really broke out in the second half last year, but it's not crazy to call him a breakout candidate this season because he's capable of 80-plus points. And I think where he's going in drafts right now, his average draft position, I believe, is 38 in Yahoo leagues. I mean, he's a guy that I would take late second round without flinching. I think Nathan MacKinnon is more valuable in fantasy than Matt Duchene, his teammate, and I would not hesitate to take him once, say, Tyler Seguin goes off the board, right in that Phil Kessel range of players. Because, again, what's the ceiling? McKinnon's ceiling may be higher, and his room for improvement may be higher than anybody else who scored 60-plus points last year.
Pete, we wanted to ask you about a few Tier 2 forwards before we get to some of your sleepers and busts here. And these two guys would have been Tier 1 forwards for probably the last 5 or 6 years. That's the Sedin twins on Vancouver. They both had disappointing seasons. Henrik had 50 points. Daniel had 47 points. Obviously didn't like playing under John Tortorella too much. Do you expect a bounce back from the Sedins this year?
I do. I think you look at the trend from... I mean, I don't know if they're going to go back into that 70-plus point realm, so to speak, but I think you can expect each of them to get over 60, and I think that when you look at the trend of, you know, prior to last season, it was a 7-year stretch that the Sedins as a point pair finished second or better, mostly first. I think they had 5 straight seasons of being the league's top point pair, and then, you know, the next 2 years they were in the top 2. So it should be a refreshing season for the Sedins, especially bringing in a goal scorer like Radim Verbata. So these guys, I mean, when we did our mock draft for NHL.com, for some reason Henrik Sedin just plummeted. I got him after the 10th round, which is just insane. So, I mean, if you can try to pick up Henrik Sedin or maybe pick up a center earlier and then, you know, 7th, 8th, 9th round, if Sedin's still around, there's no doubt that they're going to be better this season. And I think that the fact that last year they didn't miss too many games, and just their production was down, and that's a sign that maybe they weren't meshing too well with the strategy of John Tortorella. And I think that now under Willie DeJardins, and again bringing in Verbata, and the onus will be on them, but I think they should both produce much more efficiently this coming season.
Pete, what about Jason Spezza? We talked about him last segment, and, you know, he's moving over from Ottawa where he had 66 points in 75 games last year and obviously was the number one center there for many years. Do you expect the change of scenery to help Spezza, or do you expect him to get less points than last year?
I mean, he should be in that. He's usually good for 60-plus. I really like what he brings to the table for that power play for Dallas. Dallas's power play, despite having those two top dogs, was really spotty at points last season. I think bringing in a specialist like him, we saw for years what he did in Ottawa in terms of, you know, back to the mid-2000s and even as recently as last year, just pounding points on the power play all season long, and of course had that great second half push last year for Ottawa. So I think Spezza, you know, they're going to have to figure out what the deal is with him as far as extension, future production, which pertains to keeper league value. But for this particular season, I really like, I mean, think about it, Spezza out there with Tyler Seguin, Jamie Benn, Alex Goligoski on the power play. That's pretty promising. So I like Spezza. I think that he may not put up 66, but he should definitely put up 55-60 with 25 power play points, I would say.
Pete, we wanted to next ask you about this year's crop of rookies. We talked about Nathan MacKinnon earlier, and I think the tendency sometimes for owners in fantasy leagues is to take rookies maybe a little bit higher than expected. As far as this crop of rookies go, who do you think is going to get the most points, and who are some of the other players that you would advise drafting and maybe avoiding in certain pools?
I mean, I think one player that's kind of iffy right now just because of the goalie competition is John Gibson. I mean, I think he's really a top 15 goalie when you look at the grand scheme of things, but short term, I mean, Frederik Andersen is a very viable goalie that they're going to have in the mix, and Bruce Boudreaux likes to switch things up. So maybe don't reach as much as you may think when you see the name John Gibson. He has incredible keeper league value. He's going to be the number one in Anaheim. It's just a matter of time, but it's just going to be interesting to see how quickly that transpires. I think Jonathan Drouin, you can't take him early enough. I mean, once the seventh round comes around and you're starting to look for a left wing, by all means, take a chance on Jonathan Drouin, because think about it, he's going to be playing either with Steven Stamkos, Valtteri Filppula, or Tyler Johnson. No matter how you slice it, this guy is going to have top six written all over him, maybe even top line, depending on how quickly he transitions from the QMJHL to the NHL. But again, Steven Stamkos, talking about the second overall player entering the season, if you connect him with Stamkos, that's you could really reap the benefits. So don't write him off once you get to the sixth, seventh, eighth round. Don't feel like it's too early, because we saw last year with McKinnon puts up 60-plus. Drouin alongside Stamkos could put up just as much, if not more. So we have to be conscious of how high his potential is, even though he's a rookie.
Pete, we'll let you go on this last question. Everybody always wants to know about the sleepers and the busts. So give us a couple names for each, if you don't mind, that you're sort of targeting as guys to keep an eye on and guys to avoid during your hockey pool.
Oh, sure. This is probably the most fun part about fantasy hockey. I mean, I really like Patrick Hornquist. He's going to be joining the Penguins' top six. He's going pretty low in drafts. Target him maybe seventh, eighth round. Andre Palat, who may see a little bit of a decline because of Drouin's addition to the lineup. He's going in like the 120s, 130s. I mean, he's so much better than that. He was a really dynamic forward for Tampa Bay. I like Mikael Granlund. He was playing with Zach Parise and Pominville in the playoffs for Minnesota. Tyler Toffoli on the second line for the Kings. Cody Hodgson also dual eligible for Buffalo. And he's going to be, you know, with the exception of his rating, he's going to put up points. He's going to put up power play points, shots on goal. And then as far as busts, I think James Neal is going to take a step back this year going to Nashville. Eric Staal, who was really a top 30, 40 asset for years, I think he's really, his production on the power play has really taken a step back in recent seasons. One power play goal in 79 games last year. Brent Burns, another one. People look at him, oh, right-wing defenseman eligible in Yahoo leagues, but now he's not playing forward anymore. He's playing D, so his point total is going to go down. His time on ice and the wear and tear are going to catch up to him. He's an injury-prone guy. And then a couple other guys, Bobby Ryan in a contract year. Unless he's traded, I don't love his value because now the pressure is going to be squarely on his shoulders now with the departure of Spezza. So that top line with Turris, MacArthur, Ryan, as good as they were last year, they're going to be dealing with the top defensemen on opposing teams much more often this season. So I think Bobby Ryan, I would stay away from him in drafts.
Pete Jensen is the NHL.com fantasy guru. He joins us here this morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Pete, thanks very much for doing this.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys, and look forward to the start of the season. Thanks again for having me.
Absolutely, Pete. Thanks again.
Thanks a lot, Pete.
Let's head to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's our fantasy hockey preview show live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Big thank you to Pete Jensen of NHL.com for having joined us. In case you missed any of that interview or any of the program, it will be available for download on iTunes, on TSN1290.ca, and of course on IllegalCurve.com. Beauty of this show is that it'll get you prepared for your draft, whether it be this week, next week, or the week after.
Good choice of music by Timmy. I know we got a short segment here.
Yeah. Can I do a promo first?
Sure.
Okay, let me do a quick promo here. This segment is brought to you by Bernstein's Deli, the official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey, conveniently located at Cordon and Lanark in the Cordon Village Mall. Bernstein's is a family-owned and operated traditional-style deli. Take it home or eat in their full-service restaurant. Bernstein's Deli has been Winnipeg's deli destination for nearly 30 years. For more information, find them on Facebook or at BernsteinsDeli.com.
Drew, just quickly, I have to mention, Bernstein's Deli informed me of this last night. There was the Poutine Cup earlier this week.
Yes.
I believe it was Thursday.
I think so.
Put on by Charcoal Collaborative. Bernstein's Deli, for a limited time, is going to have a Reuben poutine.
Ooh.
So you can now go to Bernstein's Deli and get their Reuben poutine for a limited time only. So
when Bernstein's Deli called you, it was like the corned beef like picked up the phone and it's like, yes, no,
there's,
it's,
you know, there's like the bat signal. Aaron actually just flashes like a big corned beef sandwich and I just look up and I know that there's...
Okay, so Leslie, why don't we quickly, before we have to go to a break here, why don't you tell the listeners about what happened with your wallet and then how you had to put money together to eat dinner last night?
You had to bring this up.
Yeah.
I knew you had to throw me under the bus with this wallet thing.
Right under the bus.
I was on a work retreat out at Falcon Lake, and we stopped off in at a co-worker's cottage in Westhawk before we went to the retreat. The retreat was on Thursday, got back yesterday. Lost my wallet somehow. It might have had to have done with what we were drinking out at Westhawk Lake. But I lost my wallet, so yesterday I had to drive back to work, and I didn't have a license. And anyway,
tell everybody.
Basically, I last night for dinner, because I didn't have a wallet and my roommate wasn't home, I would have asked him for $15 or something to get a pizza. I had to roll up change, and I didn't have that much. I didn't have that much change because I'm not a big coin hoarder. Like, I like to play arcades still, so I like to spend my change. So for last night for dinner, I rolled up about $3, went to 7-Eleven, and bought a box of Kraft dinner. And that's what I my night prepping for this show and eating Kraft dinner is what I did last night.
That's a brilliant story. Did you buy a Slurpee too?
No, I didn't have enough for a Slurpee.
It was free Slurpee day.
What?
Yes, it was. You could name your own price for your Slurpee yesterday. You go there, you name your own price. All proceeds are donated to charity. You could have had a free Slurpee.
That would have been no money to charity, though.
Well, I mean, he is a charity case.
Ezzy would be the kind of guy who would go there with $3, buy a box Kraft dinner, and then say that he paid $2 for the Slurpee but wouldn't have the $2.
I can't believe I didn't know about that. Like, I usually know about stuff when it comes to, 7-Eleven and deals they have, two-for-one taquitos or whatever. I can't believe I didn't know about that.
Kraft dinner's a good choice, though. That's a great meal.
Let's go to break. When we come back, Steve Laidlaw, managing editor of Dauber Hockey, is going to join us to talk about fantasy defensemen. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
1 hour down, 1 hour to go. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, alongside Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg. Follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and NHL news is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
We are pleased to welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. He's the managing editor of Dauber Hockey, Steve Laidlaw. Steve, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Happy to be here. How's everyone doing today?
Doing very well. How about yourself, Steve?
Oh, excellent, excellent.
That's good to hear. We brought you on to talk about fantasy defensemen as we continue our fantasy hockey preview show here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Wanted to start, obviously, with Erik Karlsson. He's the number one defenseman in terms of fantasy scoring. He was top 20 in the NHL in scoring last season. Wanted to know, is he a clear-cut is he a first-round pick for you in a fantasy pool because of his defense eligibility, or do you have him ranked a little bit lower as a result?
Well, I mean, it all depends on how you're scoring. There's a lot of pools out there that are just flat points, no differentiation between forwards and defensemen. But if you do differentiate, I mean, a defenseman who can score you up to 80 points, you really have to factor him in because he's going to score 40 more points than your average defenseman. So, I mean, really, he almost has to be a first-rounder if you're differentiating.
Steve, next guy we wanted to ask you about is Drew Doughty. Everyone kind of always thinks of Drew Doughty as being a top 10 defenseman as far as scoring goes, but amongst defensemen last year, he wasn't in the top 10, had 37 points in 78 games. Obviously, he's got the two Stanley Cups, but Many people think that he still has more potential as far as points go, and you know he did have the 59 point season in his second year. Do you think he's due for a better year? And as far as defensemen go, what round would you take him in a kind of traditional draft format?
Well, Doty is an interesting one because definitely there is some reason to be optimism. Another year with, a full year with Marian Gaborik. So, you know, you'd like to think that LA could, you know, bring up their scoring numbers a little bit, especially on the power play. That's where they've really struggled. I think that Doty has really good 5-on-5 scoring numbers, but their power play just really hasn't clicked under Daryl Sutter. So maybe if they get a boost to their power play. But, I mean, I don't know. There's also the factors. There's the cup hangover. If you're really relying on Marian Gaborik, he gets hurt all the time, so that's probably not a great idea. Just going back off of average draft position, he's going fifth among defensemen on Yahoo pools right now, which is just, that's outrageous. That's way too high for a guy who has proven more times than not he's going to score 40 points in a year. So, I mean, I'm optimistic for him, but realistically, I'd probably just leave him there because someone else is going to draft him way too high.
Steve, what do you think about PK Subban? You know, obviously now into the big money here, always pressure Montreal, of course, but I think it's the next level of pressure. He had 53 points last year in 82 games. Only 10 goals for a guy with a huge shot. What do you expect from him this year?
Well, I mean, 10 goals is really good for a defenseman, so let's not underrate that value. He's an elite defenseman. I think he's got really, really strong, driven character. So like, I wouldn't be surprised if this huge contract just drives him to be better. I think he's an elite player. I think he should be going number two after Carlson and among defensemen in all drafts. So I'd have absolutely no issues taking him as a first rounder as well.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. Our guest is Steve Laidlaw from Dauber Hockey, talking about fantasy defensemen getting you set for your hockey pool on the Fantasy Hockey Preview Show here on TSN 1290. Steve, Victor Hedman last year was fourth among defensemen in points, 55 points in 75 games. We know he's got the pedigree. He was a second overall draft pick in 2009, but the point totals just jumped last year. In previous years, his high had been 26 points in 2010, 2011. Who is the true Victor Hedman in terms of point scoring, the guy who got 55 points last year or the guy who was more in the 20 to 25 point range in his previous years?
I'm a huge believer in Victor Hedman. Right now he's going 11th in Yahoo drafts among defensemen, and I think he should be going higher than Doughty is. I think he should be going in the top five, regardless of what your setup is. Okay, if you play in rotisserie with hits, penalty minutes, that sort of thing, he's a monster in those categories. But if you're just going points, even then, I think he's a top five defenseman. He's got plenty of talent. That team's loaded. Last season, again, 55 points. That was with Stamkos out with a broken leg for much of the year. So they've proven that they can score at high rates. I think that defensemen really, you know, they suck a little bit off of, you know, high-quality teams. It's not always about how good they are, but how good their team is. But Hedman's also a driver of that. I think he's one of the best defensemen in the league, and he absolutely helps them become better. One of the interesting things with Hedman is he got to 55 points last season, but only scored 14 points on the power play. Good quality defensemen can get you in the 20 to 25 range for power play points. So you have to figure getting Stamkos back, they can bump their power play efficiency way up, and that's just going to be more points for Hedman. I think he could top 60 this year.
Steve, the next defenseman we want to ask you about is Tyson Barrie, and he's a guy that signed a 2-year deal, you know, just recently within the last month. And you know, some people think that Barrie's been around for a long time. He's actually only played one full season in the NHL. This will be his fourth season, and he put up good totals last year: 38 points, scored 13 goals. So factoring in pools that reward goals, do you think Tyson Barrie can even be better this year?
I don't know about better, especially if you're looking for goals from Tyson Barrie, but he was one of my sleepers for last year, and he really paid off. He didn't, you know, he was kind of up and down from being in the lineup at the start of the year, but once he started getting regular playing time, he just kept churning out points. He's a lock to be on their number one power play unit, so that's going to be huge for him. You always want to have defensemen that are on top power play units. I think that he can repeat something close to his point per game totals, which if he plays a full 82 games, will fit him somewhere in the 45-point range.
Steve, what do you think for Andre Markov this year?
I mean, is he going to have another knee surgery? I don't know. He's had so many over the years. He's one of those guys that he's really good, but I personally don't want to touch him in fantasy leagues. I don't know when he's going to blow out his knee again. But if he's healthy, you're looking at a 50-point season.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. Our guest is Steve Laidlaw from Dauber Hockey, the managing editor, talking about fantasy defensemen as we continue with our fantasy hockey preview show. Steve, here in Winnipeg, obviously, we're mostly focused on the Winnipeg Jets. For years, we had one of the top-producing offensive defensemen in Dustin Byfuglien. He's now a forward. You know, what about who's going to pick up the slack for the Winnipeg Jets on the back end in terms of scoring? Do you see Toby Enstrom having a bounce-back year, or is Jacob Trouba going to continue his development and become an offensive dynamo on the back end?
Well, what's really interesting is Byfuglien actually has defense eligibility in a lot of pool providers. Like on Yahoo, he's a defenseman. So, and he's going 17th overall among defensemen. So this is a guy who scores roughly 55 points a year, and he's eligible as a defenseman. So you really should be taking him somewhere around the top five among defensemen in your pool. But as for who can pick up the slack on the back end, the good money's got to be on Tobias Enstrom. You know, he's done it before. He used to be a lock for 50 points in a season. He struggled with injuries a couple of years ago. He's slowly coming back from that. I would hope that this is the year that he really bounces back and gets back up to that 50-point level.
Steve, next defenseman that I wanted to ask you about was Matt Niskanen. Put up career numbers for the Pittsburgh Penguins last year, 46 points. Now, of course, he's in Washington playing for the Capitals. Do you think his point totals will go up, go down, stay the same, and what impact will playing with Alexander Ovechkin have on those point totals?
Yeah, I've got him projected to come down. They've got a new coach there in Washington, Barry Trotz, and, sometimes there's a misconception. He was in Nashville. They didn't always have the most explosive teams because they didn't have explosive forwards up front. So he kind of has a reputation as a defensive coach. I don't know that it'll necessarily hinder players from scoring lots of points. I think that defensive coaches get that reputation because they don't have as much talent, so they're trying to turn out winning teams. I think that in Washington they can still produce at a high level, especially with the high-flying forwards like Ovechkin and Backstrom and Kuznetsov coming in this year. But as for Niskanen, I mean, he's got a lot of competition. I think, on their power play, they're probably only going to have one defenseman out there on the top power play unit, and he is a fit there as a right-handed shot. But he also has John Carlson and Mike Green, who have been there for years, and they've got to be the front runners. So right now, I think, Niskanen was looking like a 25 to 30-point defenseman before he exploded last year. I'd probably be looking for him in the 25 to 30-point range this year.
Steve, we'll let you go on this last question. Everybody always wants to know a couple guys that you're targeting as sleepers and a couple guys you're targeting as busts. Who do you have on that sleepers and bust list for this coming year in terms of defensemen?
Well, for sleepers, I've got a couple on the New York Islanders because someone's got to play on their ridiculous top power play unit. So the good money is probably on Lubomir Vishnovsky. He hasn't been healthy in 3 years. He hasn't really done much of anything. He's 38 years old. There's lots of strikes against him. But the last time he was healthy, he put up 68 points in 81 games. So if he's the front runner, then he could get you 40 to 50 points. Another sleeper there is TJ Brennan. Hasn't been an NHL regular yet. He just got a one-way deal from the Islanders, so there's a good chance that they'll give him some run. He's mostly a power play specialist. He lit up the AHL last year, scoring 72 points in 75 games. If you're in a rotisserie league that counts penalty minutes, he also had 115 penalty minutes. Someone's got to play the point there. I could see Brennan coming out of nowhere. I could see Vishnovsky being good. So one of those two guys would be good value at the end of your draft. Another sleeper, Andre Sekera. He had a really nice season for Carolina last year, jumping up onto their top power play unit. They might be getting Joni Pitkinen back this year. He could bump Sekera down the roster, but you never know. Pitkinen's very injury prone. So I think Hofstetter is going something like 70th in Yahoo pools among defensemen. He's a guy who last year he got you 40 points. He should do that again as long as no one bumps him off the top power play unit. As for bust this year, I think Duncan Keith is a guy I'd be looking for in that range. He's going fourth among defensemen in Yahoo pools. This is a guy who he's got two 60-plus point seasons mixed in with seven seasons where he scored 45 points or less. You know, he's a great talent on a great team, but he's just more consistently been a 45-point guy, so I'd be drafting him more in that range. And then my other bust, I mean, Niskanen was one of my busts, but another bust is James Wisniewski. He's going somewhere around 22nd, which, I mean, based on his 51 points last year, is probably a little bit low. But in reality, he's had 51 points twice in his career, but every other season, he's always getting hurt. He's always just kind of falling around the 30-point range. So I don't think he's that reliable. I would probably draft him lower.
Steve Laidlaw is the managing editor of Dauber Hockey. He joins us to talk about fantasy defensemen here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Steve, thanks very much for doing this.
Yeah, it was awesome. Thank you very much for the opportunity, guys.
Take care and have a good season there, Steve.
You too. Bye now.
Let's go to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. The podcast on TSN1290.ca.
The Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. Fantasy hockey preview show for this 2014-15 NHL season. Of course, if you missed any of the show, it will be available for download on iTunes, on TSN1290.ca, and on our website, IllegalCurve.com. This segment is brought to you by Dr. Les Rikus and the Linden Market Dental Center. Whether an elite athlete or a weekend warrior, an essential part of your protective equipment is a proper fitting, custom-made mouthguard. Give yourself peace of mind protection as well as facial, teeth, and mouth protection. Contact the Linden Market Dental Center, 204-487-2226, or online at lindenmarketdentalcenter.com. Gentlemen, continuing on with our preview, we've done the forwards, we've done the defensemen now. We head over to the goaltenders. A lot of pools, some pools use goaltenders, some pools don't use goaltenders. Ezzy, traditionally the pool that you run doesn't actually use goaltenders. Is that ever something you've thought about bringing into the picture?
Well, it used to.
Yeah, I think when we used to do the hockey pool back in the day, I think we would have goalies, and it's always something that I think I always mention to everybody, and I think one of the main reasons why a lot of pools or a lot of people that run pools don't include goalies is because I think there's a bit of a drop-off after the first three or four goalies. You can even argue that Tuukka Rask and Henrik Lundqvist are quite ahead of the rest of the pack. And I think it's a little bit harder to project goalies. I think we'd all agree with that, guys, because I think in some pools, you even factor in save percentage, shutouts, wins, ties. Even some pools reward goalie points, even though many goalies don't get that many points. Maybe they'll get one assist. But I think if you're talking straight wins and shutouts, it's a little bit harder to predict. I think the shutout totals can vary. Sometimes it can go from 10 to 5 for certain goalies. You know, Lundqvist and Rask always seem to be up there, Jonathan Quick. But I think it's really the preference of people in respective pools. But I think it's become a little bit harder to predict goalies. And I think especially, guys, when you have teams that have really 1A and 1B goalies, and I think we're going to talk to Justin Goldman about of the Goalie Guild about that and kind of what the strategy should be when you're in a pool that only takes one goalie. Well, if you're in a pool that takes a couple goalies, you have a starting goalie and a backup goalie, I think it's a little bit easier because you can always draft two goalies from one team, right?
To your point about the unpredictability of goaltenders, if you were in a draft last season that rewarded a goaltender for wins and for shutouts, the top goaltender last year in terms of wins was Semyon Varlamov, yep. You know, who got you 41 wins. He had two shutouts, which, you know, give you a bonus point for that or whatever. You know, so he's the number one goaltender with about 84 points, give or take. And I'm willing to bet there wasn't a sole person on the planet who would have said Semyon Varlamov is going to be your top-rated goaltender last year entering into the season.
Well, yeah, he had a horrible 2012-2013 lockout year. He was 11-21 in 35 games, and his save percentage and his goals against were probably the worst among starting goalies. That's why they finished last and got the first overall pick and got Nathan MacKinnon, and he turned their fortunes around. So absolutely, Semyon Varlamov coming out and registering 41 wins was incredible, and his save percentage was even higher than it finished. At some points, it was above 930. So I think Varlamov was a big surprise. You also had Ben Bishop last year, 37 wins. He kind of came out of nowhere. A couple years ago, it wasn't even clear if Lindback was still the number one goalie there, even entering last year. So goalies are a lot harder to predict. And, you know, you have kind of a situation with a guy like Steve Mason, who was okay last year. But Steve Mason, when he came in as a rookie, you know, we all remember that, the 10 shutouts with the Columbus Blue Jackets. It's very easy, a lot easier, I think, for a young goaltender to struggle. So you always have to factor that in. I would always go with the established guys, Jonathan Quick, Henrik Lundqvist, Tuukka Rask, Carey Price. Those are the first four goalies you should take, in my opinion.
But, you know, if you're in a 10-team pool, there's 10 good goalies. So why would you reach on any of them?
Well, that was going to be my next question. I mean, that's what I was going to ask you, Richie, is, you know, you're looking at these goaltenders and, you know, there's it's such a crapshoot from a year-in to year-out basis. So would you subscribe to the notion that if you're in a pool that takes goaltenders, you're probably taking one of the last one of the last guys to take a goaltender?
And I see as he's pointing about those top guys, you know what you're getting. But I think there's enough. There's a lot, you know, there's 30 teams in the National Hockey League here, and there's usually 10-team drafts. So if you wait, you'll still be able to, even if you're starting two goalies, which many drafts do, you're still 20 of the top 30. I mean, there's options out there. I wouldn't reach on any of these guys.
I agree, and especially in pools that don't allow pickups. And when I say pickups, I mean either dropping players out of your starting roster or in pools where you can pick up guys off the waiver wire. There are a lot of online pools on TSN, or whether it's Yahoo, or obviously we hope that people go to TSN, but it's pools where you can make weekly, daily, monthly pickups. So if you're in a pool that doesn't allow that, my advice would be to not take a goalie who there's a chance might not be the number one goalie. So we're talking Frederik Andersen, John Gibson. I mean, he was playing in the playoffs for the Ducks last year. Or you're talking about Brian Elliott. Maybe you'd probably say he has a better chance of playing 50 or 60 games, but you still have Jake Allen there, who, you know, he's highly regarded in that system. And again, Richie, a team like the St. Louis Blues, they seem to always be able to have low goals against average for numbers, because they're a Ken Hitchcock system, plays really good defense. They have arguably a top three defense there. Maybe the only team that has a better defense is maybe L.A. or New York. There's only a few teams better than the Blues. So I think you have to consider that as well. But take the established goalies first, and then I don't always expect goalies who had their career years to duplicate that. So Semyon Varlamov, for example, I'm not saying that he won't have 30-plus wins, but I don't know if he's going to have 41 wins again and have those crazy numbers. That would be my opinion. Go with a guy like Carey Price or Tuukka Rask before you start taking those goalies who just had career years.
Looking at some of the top goaltenders that are in and around there, is there anybody that jumps out at you as a guy that you would sort of put a star on that you might be able to get a little bit later than the Lundqvists and the Quicks and the Prices, maybe?
I think Corey Schneider, Drew, is going to be the number one guy now in Jersey. And I know Jersey's defense isn't great, but they've loaded up with a lot of veteran guys. And Schneider is an excellent goaltender. And
soft,
I think,
division.
Yeah.
Richie's goals against average was 1.97 last year. I don't think that was really truly appreciated that much.
Yeah, and
it wasn't a good defensive team there in New Jersey.
Yeah, 921 save percentage. So he cuts, you know, he gets above that 920 threshold. And they add Camilleri, still can play. Havlet, you know, there's certainly questions as to whether he can play. But I think he could be a guy who could provide real nice value for you a little bit later on in the pool.
He had played 45 games for the Devils, started 43 of those, and had 16 wins. You know, you give him this is a guy, I mean, he's a workhorse. You know, when Marty Brodeur was in his prime, they weren't afraid to bring him out there, you know, 70, 75 games a year.
Right.
If that's Corey Schneider this coming season, there's no reason, and with an improved team, because I think we agree that the Devils are better this year than they were last year, there's no reason why Corey Schneider's win totals couldn't get up to the 25 to 30 range.
Yeah, at least, I think.
You know, you mentioned Marty Brodeur playing, you know, the 70-75 games. I think he once...
Hang on, that's continuing your streak of mentioning Marty Brodeur for
it's
our 412th straight show now.
It's not even signed yet. It's unbelievable.
They chose Ilya Bryzgalov over him in New Jersey. Pardon me, in Minnesota.
Yeah, less of a distraction. Well, maybe not less of a distraction.
Yeah, let's not get into that. They also have Josh Harding and Darcy Kemper there, so I mean,
yeah,
it's a...
But Harding's injured.
I know, but I think there's that factor in.
And
I don't know if Marty Brodeur really necessarily works out there. But I know what your point was, though, yeah. Drew. But, you know, I want to get back to what you were saying about the 70 to 75 games. I think Brodeur, I think he even played, didn't he play 78 games? He was always, I think he played 76 games one year. Maybe we'll check that. But when you're talking about that expectations of a goalie, you know how many goalies played above 70 games last
played
year?
Played 77 games
there
in 2007. Pardon me, played 78 games
there you go.
In 2006-2007.
Not happening anymore.
That's pretty good, right off the top of my head there, Drew.
I mean, you're right. Every year that he was in his prime, the least amount of games he played was, you know, in and around 70.
Think,
you know,
how many goalies?
Pekka Rinne, this year you might be able to get him lower because of the injuries. I know people know he's good, but what do they think about Nashville? And they've had additions. Maybe they win more games, although they're in a tough division. And then Braden Holtby with the additions of Brooks Orpik and the addition of Matt Niskanen and the addition of Barry Trotz. Those are a couple of guys. That's why I don't think you take a goalie high, because there's so many guys who could be really good.
But seriously, though, back to that question. How many goalies played above 70 games last year? None.
I
think you could expect certain goalies to play more games next year.
For sure.
This coming year. I think Tuukka Rask at 58 games, I think he'd play a little bit more. And you can expect Carey Price maybe even to play a little bit more in the 65 to 70 game range, but you have to consider that as well. I don't think the gap between the best goalie and the second, I mean, the days of Marty Brodeur, especially in pools that rewarded shutouts and wins, I think those days are over, where you can expect a goalie to play 75 plus games. I think the most you're going to expect is like 70 games out of these goalies now.
I think the most you'll expect is it'll be 65. I mean, like look at the game started, you know, Carey Lehtinen at 64, Marc-Andre Fleury at 64. The rest of the guys are below that. I mean, can you play in the NHL with all these back-to-backs? And Justin Goldman, who we're having on next segment, made a point in his article on NHL.com that there's less back-to-back games this year than last because of the Olympics.
Exactly.
But even so, it's not that many less. And so you have to have two goalies to be able to weather these back-to-backs in the long season and the physicality.
You can maybe expect three or four more games out of goalies like Carey Price, Tuukka Rask, Henrik Lundqvist, who were in the Olympics, but don't expect 10 more.
Fair enough.
Because the Olympics weren't, it wasn't a month-long event, it was a two-week event.
Fair enough. And you got to remember, like, the goalies are, I said physicality, the goalies are getting run over these days. Like, they don't really protect them that much, so there's the wear and tear on them as well.
Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll bring in Justin Goldman from thegoalieguild.com, and we'll continue our conversation about fantasy hockey goaltenders. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Fantasy Hockey Preview Show, live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Fantasy Hockey Preview Show here on TSN 1290. Drew Mandel alongside Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg, producer Remus and producer Tim doing the things they do behind the scenes. Reminder, next Saturday morning, note the start time, 9 a.m. We return to the 3-hour Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Next Saturday is our season preview spectacular here on TSN 1290. 3 hours of hockey talk for you, 9 a.m. next Saturday here on TSN 1290.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
We are pleased to welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show from thegoalieguild.com, Justin Goldman. Justin, good morning, and thanks very much for joining us.
Oh, hey, no problem. Having a blast here at Avalanche training camp. So glad to join you guys once again.
I appreciate you doing so. Justin, obviously we're based here in Winnipeg with this program, so we got to start with the Winnipeg Jets goaltending duo. Last year, Andrei Pavlik, we all know how horrendous the season was, how bad the numbers were. Sort of a two-part question. Can Pavlik be better this year? And if not, what does rookie goaltender Michael Hutchinson have to his game? And can he push for starts in the Winnipeg Jets net?
Yeah, loaded question. I mean, obviously, because, like you said, Pavlik's numbers were so bad fantasy-wise and just in general across the league, I don't think he can get much worse. So can he get better? He pretty much has to at this point. He has nowhere to go but up. And you just hope that, not so much in terms of the consistency, but just making the saves that he needs to make. And obviously it does help to get a little bit more support in front of him. But at the end of the day, he's a big goaltender. He's very athletic. He should be stopping a lot of hockey pucks this season. So it's he's a huge deterrent in fantasy leagues. There's no point in really drafting him. There's too many other good guys around. So I guess to answer your question, there's nowhere else for him to go but up. So I guess there's a little bit promise there. In terms of Michael Hutchinson, I'm really glad you asked me about him. I didn't know too much about this kid. except that he had spent a few years in the minors with the Boston Bruins. And I watched him play those two games with you guys at the end of last season, was pretty impressed with his skill set. And so you have to be careful because it's such a small sample size when it comes to figuring out where you're going to draft him or is he even a viable option in a late round in fantasy drafts. But I actually had the opportunity to spend 5 days with this guy on the ice at an elite pro camp with eight other NHL goalies in Madison, Wisconsin. And the kid has a lot of skill, and he had a very good summer training. I honestly think this is a guy that can not only steal some starts from Pavlik, because we know that he's been struggling over the past few years, but he can win some hockey games for this team. He's an unknown entity in the sense that he hasn't really been scouted at the NHL level. Other teams and opposing shooters do not really know what he brings to the table, but he's a very rangy, athletic goaltender, fills the net extremely well, and he's paid his dues in the minors. So even though he does have a very small sample size at the NHL level, he's had some AHL success. And if you're looking for a guy that you're going to draft in your last round and you've got a pick to use, I think this is the time, these past few seasons, where you need to have four goalies on your fantasy league if you're just playing like a basic one-year head-to-head fantasy league with points and everything else. I think he's a guy that you take in your 15th or 16th round and just stash him and see what happens there. But I do think Hutchison's going to have a very good first full season as an NHL goaltender this year.
Justin, the first goalie that we want to ask you about after Pavlik and Hutchinson is Tuukka Rask. You did your top 30 fantasy rankings for NHL.com, and you had Tuukka Rask rated number one. Of course, he won his first Vezina trophy last year. How much separates him and the next goalie, whether that's Henrik Lundqvist, Carey Price, or Jonathan Quick?
Well, in terms of skill set, the difference between goalie number one and goalie number 60, I hate to say it, I guess you're probably looking at a guy like Pavlik for that spot, is not very big when it comes to sheer skill set. Maybe the top three or four goalies in the league are a little bit quicker. Maybe they read pucks off the blade a little bit better. Maybe they're a little bit more athletic. But in terms of sheer raw talent, the difference between goalie one and 60 is not that great. When you put that into perspective, what really comes into play in terms of fantasy league and fantasy value is the team around them. I mean, defensive support. Shot suppression, you start looking at advanced statistics, these things become very, very valuable when you're looking at a goalie like Tuukka Rask. But I think he brings the most confidence when it comes time to picking a goalie in the first round. We all know how it kind of works these days when you're ranking fantasy goalies. You have pretty much three tiers, and it all kind of falls on a bell curve. You've got your elite starting goalies that you want to draft in the first couple rounds. Those are the Tuukka Rasks, the Carey Prices, the Henrik Lundqvists. Maybe you toss Varlamov into the mix. Then as the bell curve gets towards the top, you have a big group of guys right in the middle. And then at the bottom, you've got another smaller group of guys that you're just basically staying away from. So I think Tuukka Rask is always going to fall at the very beginning of that bell curve. There's only three or four guys that bring the type of value that he brings in terms of the skill set and the team around him. So he's a guy that I think unanimously is almost your number one goaltender heading into a draft. And obviously things can change over the course of the season, but I just think he brings so much confidence in terms of drafting him in that first or second round. And he's a guy that you just can't miss if he's sitting there, you know, like I said, late in the first round or early in the second round.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. Our guest is Justin Goldman of thegoalieguild.com talking about fantasy hockey goaltenders. Justin, wanted to talk to you about Ben Bishop. Last year, he finished fourth overall in the NHL with 37 wins. He started 58 games for the Tampa Bay Lightning. This year, his backup goaltender is Evgeny Nabokov. He's 39 years old. He'll turn 40 at the end of this coming season. You know, what's the ceiling for Ben Bishop? Is he on the verge of entering into that tier one of fantasy goaltenders, especially with a backup goaltender who's a fair bit older in age?
I absolutely think so. I think it took Ben Bishop a few years to really establish his own specific blueprint in terms of how he wanted to play and how he needed to play to be successful. At his size, there's really no other comparables in the league. He can't really go out and look at any other NHL goaltenders and say, this guy's dominated the league for 4, 5, 6, 7 years at 6'8". This is how I'm going to model my game. He's really had to create his own blueprint with the goalie coaches that he's worked with. And that's why I think it's taken him a little bit longer to get comfortable playing deep in the net, moving as little as possible, not creating extra holes with low plays and pucks that are going from low to the middle of the crease. So I think, again, this is a guy that he fills the net so extremely well, so many pucks that get deflected or change direction halfway through from the shot being released to the puck actually hitting the net. I mean, he finds a way, pucks find ways to hit him because he is so big. So I think the learning curve for him has been a little bit longer, but obviously he was able to establish himself as one of the best fantasy goalies last season. And, you know, he has had to deal with some of the injuries late in the regular season. It was very untimely, but he did work hard, and he was actually one of the other eight NHL goaltenders there in Madison. And getting to know him a little bit better on and off the ice, this is a guy who is extremely composed in the net. He understands now how much of the net he actually does fill. So I think, like I said, that blueprint is more solid than it's ever been. He continues to mature. He continues to develop. And like I said, it's not easy sometimes for those big 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", goaltenders to understand how they need to play with the way that the game is evolving with so many dead angle plays and so many passes off the pads. You know, I think he's done a really good job, and you just hope that he can stay healthy. If he stays healthy, he's easily a 68-70-game starter. Nabokov, I think, was good insurance because the two younger guys, and Andre Vasilevsky and Gudlevskis there, clearly not ready to be NHL goaltenders, although they do have that upside. But bringing Nabokov in's like a, you know, a good wily veteran that still has some games left in him and good insurance policy. But it's clearly Ben Bishop's team, and he's clearly a guy that I think would be a great number one goaltender for a fantasy league.
Justin, we talked about this last segment. What do you do when there's possibly two goalies who could share starts, and there's probably no better place than that than Anaheim, where a lot is expected out of John Gibson. Only played three regular season games, but his numbers were incredible, and then, of course, played four games in the playoffs last year. There is the chance that Frederik Andersen has more starts or splits the starts, but how does that affect their fantasy value, and who do you think maybe will play more starts there in Anaheim?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, honestly, for the Boudreaux effect there in Anaheim, you actually want to downgrade both guys just a little bit. You don't really know how this situation is going to play out. Frederik Andersen, unbelievable numbers in his short NHL career. The sample size does not give me a lot of confidence to say, hey, I'm going to target Frederik Andersen as a guy who's playing 60 games. Jonathan Gibson has too much upside. I think there's too much value placed in his upside in the realm of the organization and how they perceive his long-term value. And Frederik Andersen's a guy that they picked up pretty late in the draft and was previously drafted by Carolina. So I think all eyes are pointing to, you know, or all fingers are pointing to John Gibson being the future in Anaheim. It's just a matter of how quickly they want to, you know, put him in that position where he is the full bona fide starter. So I think that's a situation that's going to play out in terms of how they battle each other, how the team plays around the two guys. And like I say, with Bruce Boudreaux there as head coach, I think you have to a little bit pull back on their upside and what their perceived value is going to be this season. And just maybe if you want to take both, go for it. But at the end of the day, I'm kind of looking elsewhere, unless John Gibson or Frederik Andersen are available, you know, maybe 9th, 10th round, you can pick one of those guys up as your third goalie. But there's no real clue, no real insight into who is going to end up playing more games. It's a situation that will play out over the season, and for that reason, I kind of pull back on their fantasy value just a little bit heading into your draft.
Justin, what do you think of Braden Holtby, you know, with Barry Trotz now in Washington and adding Brooks Orpik and Matt Niskanen, and what do you expect for a guy who's has been a bit up and down in his career thus far?
Yeah, I think Braden Holtby is a great sleeper. I think you've seen that in a lot of the fantasy rankings, whether it's with Yahoo, even with my ranking. He's a sleeper. I think this is a guy that got his wires crossed last season. Too many hands in the kitchen, so to speak. And I think that they tried to change his style, tried to change his game in the middle of the regular season. You can't do that to a goaltender. You've got to make those big fundamental changes over the course of the summer. Mitch Korn is one of the best goalie coaches to ever be a part of an NHL franchise. I think that is going to be a huge, huge pickup for the Capitals organization. And look, Olaf Kolzig is still in the mix. So Mitch Korn isn't just teaching the goaltenders how to get better. He's teaching Olaf Kolzig how to become a better coach, and even Scott Murray, their development goalie coach. So I think Braden Holtby is poised to be the type of guy that's going to be much more consistent than last season. Again, you talk about a goaltender's blueprint and his positional strategy and understanding where he needs to play in the crease in terms of his depth and his angle and his overall positioning. And Braden Holtby is going to figure it out this summer. And I think it's going to be really exciting to watch this guy because he is so dynamic. He does have the skill set of a high-end starting goaltender. And if he gets a little bit better shot suppression around him with the defensive core that he has, I think he's going to be a guy that's really underrated and overlooked a little bit because he did struggle last season. But now he's got a much better core around him, not only with the defensive group, but the goalie coaching as well. You know, Mitch Korn is known as a goalie whisperer for good reason. I think that's a great relationship, and it's going to be really exciting to watch this guy play this season.
Justin, we got to ask you about former Manitoba Moose goalie Corey Schneider. I remember during last year's Fantasy Hockey Show, we were talking about who was going to get more starts, him or Marty Brodeur. That's obviously not a question this coming year with Corey Schneider getting the undisputed number one goalie in New Jersey title. What do you expect out of Corey Schneider as far as starts go and fantasy value? And, you know, you got to mention that his goals against was pretty ridiculous last year in the 45 games that he played.
Yeah, he's a top 10 goaltender for sure. I think I had him ranked 10th or 11th. He was right there on the bubble. You know, there's a couple of guys that I think pushed into that top 10 range. Kari Lehtinen's obviously one that you have to project as a top 10 because of the way that the team got better around him. And Corey Schneider, I think, is another guy that if it wasn't for the Marty Brodeur effect in New Jersey last season, he would have run with it and done extremely well. You look at some of the other aspects, too, like the shootout losses that New Jersey had. They're obviously not going to lose as many games in the shootout again this season. So I think Corey Schneider has a chance to be a 60-62 starter. He could push for 40 wins. I think his goals against average, you're looking at 225, 230, and a save percentage above 920. I mean, there's nothing stopping this guy anymore. I think he realizes it. And when you put in the work every day and you have to continually wait for your opportunity and you have that patience and you have that due diligence, when the time finally comes to run with it, you know you've put in the work, you know you've paid your dues, you get a big confidence boost from that situation. And I think with Scott Clemenson there backing him up, you know, Clemenson's a guy that's at the very tail end of his career, but New Jersey did a good job to bring in a guy who's comfortable in that system, has been with New Jersey before. It's the Corey Schneider show in New Jersey, and he's going to be a guy that I think definitely establishes himself as a top 10 fantasy asset, possibly even top 8. And from there, I mean, the sky is the limit. So a lot of upside for that guy heading into the fantasy draft this season.
Justin, we'll let you go on this last question. You already mentioned Braden Holtby as one of your sleepers for this upcoming year. Give our audience another sleeper and a guy or two guys that you think might be bust this year in terms of fantasy goaltenders.
Yeah, sleepers. You know, it's always a good question, and it's funny because last year we saw 97 goaltenders play an NHL game. That is absolutely ridiculous. I was so busy last season trying to write reports on all these guys that you've never really seen at the NHL level before. But if you're going for sleepers, I think Jonathan Gibson has to be at the top of the list. There's just something about this guy that makes sense. He's got what it takes. He has that X factor for a goaltender. Not the most polished guy, and yes, he does have a very small sample size, but he's probably one of my biggest sleepers. And then I'm going to throw some love over to Cam Ward in Carolina. I read a very interesting story on NHL.com, and it looks like this guy really did a lot of self-reflection over the summer, really brought to attention the fact that, hey, he's being very, very open with the fact that he has struggled and he hasn't played his best. I think when a goaltender goes through that situation where he really comes to terms with how he has struggled, new goalie coach in Carolina, really good asset in Anton Khudobin, who's going to push Cam Ward to be at his best, I think there's a chance that Cam Ward could find his game. And if the team brings a little bit more support for him and he has a couple of good games early in the season, that's a good momentum push for him. So Cam Ward in the East there, and I would say Jonathan Gibson in the West. But you know what, guys? This is the season, I think, where you really do have to start looking at carrying four goalies on your fantasy team because there are going to be injuries. There are going to be guys that come out of the woodworks, and you never really know when it's going to happen. So add that fourth goalie if you've got a spot in the 15th or 16th round, and you never know what can happen.
Justin Goldman covers the NHL and everything goaltending on his website, thegoalieguild.com. Justin, thanks very much for joining us this morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me. You guys have fun out there.
Thanks, Justin. Appreciate it. Let's go to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Fantasy Hockey Preview Show on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
One final segment on this Saturday on this Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, the longest running independent comedy club in North America. Rumors is celebrating 30 years come November. So in the meantime, the best way to celebrate, do a little bit of renovation, do a little bit of house cleaning. So that's what they're doing over at Rumors. So they're closed right now. They're going to reopen starting in the beginning of November. So be sure to check them out. They have their 30th anniversary show coming up. They have another couple concert series right in there. RumorsComedyClub.com is where you can still buy tickets right now. Be sure to check them out. Be sure to be there in November, 30th anniversary concert series.
Just quickly, I was at Russell Peters last Tuesday.
Yeah.
And he gave Rumors a shout out.
Absolutely.
He mentioned the last time he was in Winnipeg was 15 years ago, playing Rumors for a couple weeks. And he made a joke about, I think, staying at the Charterhouse Hotel.
That would be accurate. Back in the day.
Yeah.
That's so it was, going way back.
Russell Peters was hilarious. So, you know, he... That's where
well,
he, that's,
the,
he, that's where he was.
The best comedians always get their start at Rumors, and then they go from there. So
Jerry Seinfeld.
Jerry, the list of comedians is too long for me to mention.
Did you Don Rickles ever play there?
Did say that again?
Don Rickles?
No, Don Rickles would have been before Rumors. He's probably
that's when Drew was in high school.
Yeah, that's right. Don Rickles has got to be what, close to 90?
I'm close to 90. Mid-80s.
He's the best.
Yeah. Anyways, if you want to see who has all performed to Rumors, check him out, RumorsComedyClub.com. Ezzy, you have... Now, last year... recall me what it was. He's 88. Don Rickles is 88. Last year, you had your top five tips for hosting a fantasy draft.
That's right.
Of which you violated all five of the rules.
That's debatable.
No, you violated all of them. I was there.
Yeah. I believe that you said there has to be Wi-Fi. There has to be internet. There was no internet. There has to be food. There was no food. There has to be electricity. I'm not sure that there was any electricity. You violated all your rules last year. Are you going to improve on that? What's your top five for this year? Are there not five rules this year? What are they?
There are five rules here, but instead of five rules about hosting a hockey draft, I've come up with five rules while you're preparing for your hockey draft, because everybody always wants to know, okay, what sites do I go to? How do I prepare here? So I'm going to quickly go over my five rules in preparing a hockey draft. Timmy, maybe we can get some background music here just to for audio effects. My first rule while preparing for your hockey draft is to prepare on your own, because I think we'd all agree that, especially when you have a teammate, I think that sometimes can affect your ability to create your own projections. So my first rule is going to be, do preparations on your own. This doesn't mean that you can't prepare with your friend, but I'm just saying that I think you should also spend some time on your own to go over who you think is going to have a good year and who you want to draft in your fantasy pool. That's number one. I guess Timmy doesn't have any music for me, but that's okay. Number two.
Give him a real heads up there.
Number two, my second rule in preparing for your hockey draft is to use multiple resources. So don't just rely on one site. Use NHL.com. Of course, use TSN. Dauber Hockey, McKean's, those are also good resources for you. Number three.
The worst tips ever.
Avoid cramming at the last minute.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to be the guy who shows up with five different sheets in front of you and hasn't done any preparation 1 hour before your pool. So if your pool's in 2 weeks, start preparing now. Number four, my fourth rule while you prepare for your hockey draft. Forget you have a favorite team. I think everybody makes the mistake of drafting players off of their favorite teams. So make sure that you're not just picking the same players off of the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, Ezzy, what elementary school kid did you steal these off of?
And I did this last night while I was eating Kraft dinner. Oh, number five, the fifth rule, and this is the most important rule. Have a solid meal hours before the draft. Be nourished for your hockey pool. You don't want to rely on, you know, someone else's empty bag of chips. So if possible, avoid eating or snacking at the draft and make sure you get a solid meal in you so you're ready to draft your fantasy hockey team. For Illegal Curve, I'm Ezra Ginsberg.
For now, on Illegal Curve, you're Ezra Ginsberg.
Cheers. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy.
And cheers.
No, not good enough.
He's a bad boy.
I never seen something. Stay
like this. Surprisingly not good.
Richard Pollock.
I'm going to give a quick cheer to Timo Solani for laying it out. Being honest.
Yeah.
When you're a guy who played that long, won Olympic medals in a Stanley Cup, and you've scored an over 700 goals, you can say what you want, and I don't mind when somebody says what they want. So I thought that was interesting comments he had about Bruce Boudreau. I'm interested to see what that book is like.
Ezra?
I don't have necessarily a cheer prepared, which really isn't uncommon for me. So no. I'm going to cheer the opening up of Jets training camp and training camps across the NHL. It really signals the beginning.
What's more cliche, that cheer or the list?
It's neck and neck battle, really. Yeah. Anyways, that's it for this Saturday in the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. Big thank you to our guests, Pete Jensen from NHL.com, Steve Laidlaw, managing editor of Dauber Hockey, and Justin Goldman from TheGoalieGuild.com. Big thank you to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, and Bernstein's Deli. In case you missed any of the show, it will be available for download on iTunes, on TSN1290.ca, and on our website, IllegalCurve.com. Follow us on Twitter, at IllegalCurve, Facebook.com/IllegalCurve, and for all your Jets news and NHL news, IllegalCurve.com. For producer Tim and producer Remus, for Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. Remember, 9 a.m. next Saturday, season preview show. And if it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
You've been listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. The podcast. Catch the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live Saturdays on TSN 1290 and TSN 1290.ca.